I guess a number of you will already have guessed what we're going to read tonight. We're going to be reading, please, from Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Good to see you all tonight. Glad you're here. Trust that you'll have a very special evening as you listen to the preaching of the Gospel. It's designed for all. I was talking with Brother Leslie, I think it was last night, and we were saying that, you know, it's as important for Christians to hear the Gospel as non-believers, because that's what keeps us sweet, is an appreciation of what Christ has done for us upon the cross. Luke chapter 15, and we'll commence reading, please, the beginning of the chapter. Then drew near unto him, that is, the Lord Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. At least they don't think they do. We started Sunday night looking at the very last journey that the Lord Jesus ever took before he was crucified. And we saw that 2/3 of Luke's Gospel is taken up with that very last journey, which should tell us that, at least in Luke's estimate, that journey was a most important journey. We saw, too, that at the very beginning of that journey, the Lord Jesus informed his disciples that when he arrived in Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified and he would rise again the third day. Now, for most of us, if we knew that at the end of a particular journey we were going to be killed, I'm sure we would make a change in our plans and we would go somewhere else. But in that very same chapter, we read that when the Lord Jesus came to a city of the Samaritans, they refused to receive him in the city because he had set his face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. He was determined to complete that journey. Because what was going to take place at the end of that journey was the very purpose for which he came into the world. He came into the world in order that he might be able to lay down his life for the likes of you and me, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. That's why he came. And so he was determined to take the journey. And so we've been tracing the journey. We saw it pictured for us in the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember the man that was by the side of the road, half dead. And we read these words, A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And that's a beautiful illustration of why it was the Lord Jesus came into the world. And then last night we looked into chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel, and there in chapter 13 we read that he continued teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And there in the context of those verses, we discovered just how imperative it was that people make the choice to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. He says, strive to enter in at the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and cry, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall say unto you, Depart from me, I never knew you. One door, and only one, and yet the sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? Are you on the inside? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Or are you still on the outside, still on the broad road that leads to destruction? Well, now we've come to chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. And you will notice, first of all, please, that we have, you might say, three different kinds of sinners presented to us in verse 1. We read, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, and so on. So we have in verse 1, we've got the publicans and the sinners. Now, I used to think that a publican was a person who ran a public house. And I guess in modern days, that is the case. But a publican in Bible terms was a tax collector. But these tax collectors, you see, they were Jews, but they were working for the Romans, who were an occupying force in Israel at that time. And so they were working for the enemy. And not only were they working for the enemy, but they were actually collecting more money than they were expected to, and they were taking the cream off the top for themselves. So they became very, very wealthy at the expense of their own people. So they were despised by the Jews in general. I've called these unscrupulous sinners. And there are lots of unscrupulous sinners in the world today. But we read of the publicans and the sinners. Well, the term sinner really applies to everybody. We're all sinners. We were born that way, you see. But in Luke chapter 15, it's used in a special way. It's used in the way in which the scribes and the Pharisees would view it. The sinners were the prostitutes, and the drunkards, and the murderers, and people that were involved in all sorts of very wicked crime. So these are the immoral sinners. So you've got unscrupulous sinners, and you've got immoral sinners in verse 1. But when you come into verse 2, you've got the scribes and the Pharisees. They were religious sinners, but sinners nonetheless. Oh, they didn't think so. You see, they would have been the 99 that thought they didn't need to repent. They thought they were good enough as they were. After all, they went along regularly to the Jewish synagogue. They paid tithes of all that they possessed. They fasted twice a week. They stood on street corners to pray. They gave money into the great treasury there in the temple. My, they were so religious, and they thought they were a cut above everybody else. But they were sinners nonetheless. Verse 1 says, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They wanted to hear the Lord Jesus. You see, they had one advantage over the scribes and the Pharisees. Nobody needed to tell them they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. Their lifestyle told them that they were sinners. And yet they saw in the Lord Jesus someone who had the answer to their need. Someone who was compassionate toward them, who had a real care for them, so they drew near to hear him. And then we read, Then the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In other words, in effect, what they were saying is, he's barely better than they are. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they wouldn't associate with the publicans and sinners. Because in their estimate of things, to associate with the publicans and sinners is to be like them. But the Lord Jesus didn't associate with the publicans and sinners because he wanted to be like them. He associated with them because he knew he had the answer to their need. He knew he could lift them out of the mire of sin. That's why he ate with publicans and sinners. And so, as a result of that criticism on the part of the scribes and the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus told this beautiful parable. Actually, we have in this chapter three parables. Some like to say it was one parable in three parts. Others say it was three parables. Really, it doesn't make any difference. You've got three distinct stories, and so I would suggest we've got three parables here. He told the parable of the lost sheep. He told the parable of the lost coin. And then he told that parable that we have come to call the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. Now you would wonder, what on earth would a sheep and a coin and a son share in common? Well, they shared one thing in common. They were all lost. They were all lost. Now, I could go into the whole chapter, but I'm not going to fall into that trap this evening. I just want to stick to the first part of the parable. I'll just say this much. The lost sheep really depicts the publicans and the sinners. The lost coin, lost in the house, that's the scribes and the Pharisees. In the parable of the prodigal son speaks to us of the publicans and sinners. And his older brother, who wouldn't go in, speaks to us of the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay? That's all I'll say about it. But notice, first of all, here in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them. Did you notice that? If he lose one of them. Now the fault wasn't that of the shepherds. It was because the sheep had strayed. You see, that's what sheep do. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, written over 700 years before the birth of Christ. That's what sheep do. They go astray. They don't have a compass to show them the way home. But did you notice that it was the shepherd's loss? Now, it was the sheep's loss, too. It's the sheep that was in grave danger. But it was the shepherd that really felt the loss. Now, there could be some of you sitting in the audience here this evening, and you're as lost as you could possibly be. But you may be totally unconcerned about the fact that you're lost. But I want you to understand this. There is someone who is really feeling the fact that you're lost. And that's the shepherd. That's the Lord Jesus. You see, what this little parable is telling us is why it was that the Lord Jesus came into the world in the first place. Chapter 19, we read the words, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Do you understand that you're lost? You may not feel lost. You may know your way home. But as far as God is concerned, you're lost. The same word is translated in our New Testament to perish. The difference is this. The idea of being lost has to do with the here and now. You're lost now. But to perish means that in the great expanse of eternity, you will be irretrievably lost if you never receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you don't know Christ personally for yourself today, at this moment in time, you're lost. That means you can't find your own way back. There is nothing that you can do to retrieve yourself. You can't pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, as they say. The shepherd's loss. He feels the loss. You see, the shepherd loves the sheep. The Lord Jesus loves you and me. And you know, you can't go so far away from God and become such a vile sinner that He will cease to love you. There has never been a person in this world that Christ does not love. And there has never been a person in this world that Christ didn't come into the world to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Then I want you to notice the shepherd's activity. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So here we have the picture of this last journey taken by the Lord Jesus. He goes out into the wilderness to find the sheep that was lost. Christ came down from heaven and entered into humanity in order that he might find the sheep that was lost. But did you notice what the verse said? It said, until he find it. He was going to go all the way. You see, his birth at Bethlehem, vital though that was, never saved anybody. The life that he lived in Nazareth, absolutely pure though it was, never saved anybody. His preaching by the Sea of Galilee never saved anybody. The miracles that he performed never saved anybody. He had to go the whole distance. My Bible says he was obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. He went the whole distance until he find it. And I would like to impress upon this audience the immensity of the price that was paid by the Lord Jesus. I can't understand it, let alone can I describe it to you. Often I've prayed that I might be able to dip my little bucket into the vast ocean of the sufferings of Christ. We've all seen the little boy at the seaside putting his little plastic bucket into the water, and he says to his mummy, "Mummy, I've got the sea in my bucket." He has no idea just how much more there is out there. But in 3 hours of darkness, from the sixth to the ninth hour, that's 12 noon our time, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over all the earth. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried, my God, why didst thou forsake me?" He knew the answer to that question. He wants us to discover the answer to that question. In those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Peter says, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree." And again, "Christ also has once suffered for sins, the righteous one, for us the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." Paul puts it this way, "God hath made him," Christ, "to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what that simply means is this, that in those hours of darkness, God punished his own son as though he was the sinner. He took our place. He endured the wrath of God against sin in order that we might be able to go free. But listen, those hours of darkness came to an end. The darkness receded. And in the daylight, the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Finished!" He had finished the work of redemption. Everything necessary in order that you might be saved was done by the Lord Jesus on the cross. There is nothing you can add to it. There is nothing you need to add to it. All you have to do is receive it. The shepherd's persistence. Then I want to see the shepherd's success in verse 5. "And when he hath found it," my, that must have been a wonderful moment. When he had found it. I remember when he found me. This coming September, it will be 60 years ago, that the shepherd found me. My, what a tremendous moment that was in my life. He gave me a joy in that moment that this world cannot give, neither can it take away. He became my Savior, the shepherd's success. But notice what it says. "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home," you notice that? That sheep didn't have to walk for 5 yards. The shepherd carried the sheep all the way home. And if you were to trust Christ as your Savior, the moment you trusted him, you would be as safe as though you were already in heaven. Not as happy, but you'd be as safe as though you were already in heaven, because it all depends on Christ and the value of his work upon the cross. Once you are saved, you can never lose it. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So there we see in verse 6 the shepherd's goal. When he cometh home, he brings the sheep home. My, I'm looking forward to going to that home. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I'm going to be in the Father's house. He's going to bring me home. Finally, we have the one requirement. Notice, please, in verse 7, "For I say unto you, likewise, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." This is all he requires of you, is that you acknowledge your need as a sinner. Trust him as Savior. Turn your back upon your sin. The moment you trust him, that moment, your sins will be forgiven. The Lord bless his word to each one.